yourself up to him, then he can't heal you. He could, and sometimes he does, but you understand what I'm saying. So you've got to know that he loves you today, and he does. It's a blessing to have Brother Sister Franklin with us today, all the way up from Tennessee. Love you guys so much. Thank you for coming. And I see some other new faces. Let's pray for those that are sick. I got just all kinds of phone calls the last couple of days. People are very, very sick right now. I don't know what it is, a stomach virus of some sort, but it's just part of it. We've still got a beautiful crowd today, and I love you very much. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 1. I haven't had the opportunity to say it, but the fundraiser that we did for Liberty for Life, I say we, I mean the church as a whole brought a lot of stuff, but Sister Brittany worked so hard. I think she raised, altogether, the fundraiser itself raised about $550. And I was so thankful, and she worked so hard, and I wanted to say thank you very much. You're awesome. So let's let her know how much we appreciate her. And it wasn't just her. There was others that helped her, but she pulled most of the weight there. And I forgot last Sunday. I get so messed up in my head getting ready to preach, I forget. Now I wasn't here Wednesday night. They said Brother Greg taught outstanding, tremendous, and I thank God for him. What a wonderful man of God to have here. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, if you have that, please say amen. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him. Somebody say, touch me. He put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately, that's a powerful word, isn't it? Immediately, not tomorrow, not next week, immediately, the leprosy departed from him. Has anybody in the room got that kind of need today? I need an immediate healing. And he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And he went out, began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. I like that word, blaze. Published it, blazed it. Insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. He published it, and he blazed it. Somebody shout, light it up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for this weekend. Up until this point, it's been one of the best weekends that I've had in a long time. Your favor has been upon us, your mercy, your grace, your love. I thank you for this church, Revival Tabernacle. I thank you for the beautiful visitors that are here today. We also pray for those that are sick. Many are sick. Some are just cold. We pray for all of them that you would touch in every area. But Father, the truth is we're here. And we're ready. We came expecting today. We come listening. We come looking. At least I feel the most of us did. They came because they were expecting some. I pray for those that are here out of obligation that you'll meet them too. We all have needs. Some of us need you now. And Father, I'm praying that you will touch and move in this house in a way that only you can get the glory. I pray, God, that you would lift the cloud of depression off the people. That you would lift the cloud of melancholy and gloom off the people, and that a spirit of joy and peace and glory and wonder would rise up in this place, and that the saints of God would be able to experience real joy that can't be taken away. I thank you for everything, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Somebody please shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, little brother. We find here in Mark chapter 1, I went through this book of Mark this week in my devotions. I'll probably be preaching out of Mark a lot in the next few weeks, at least on Sundays. I don't know, may not, but I think he spoke some things to me in these chapters, these 16 chapters that I haven't been able to get away from. In this particular text, a man that the Bible calls a leper comes to him. I always found it interesting that there were times that people would come to Jesus and he didn't even tell us what their names were. He'd say, he's a no-name. I wonder why he does that. We can't say that the leper was unimportant. A lot of times, if you're a no-name, you're unimportant. I've been a no-name from nowhere. Sometimes they ask me for my business card, and I hand them the blank side. I say, that's what you get when you're a no-name from nowhere. You ever felt like you were a nobody? A nothing. I'm a no-name, just a speck. I think we've all felt that way. But we can't accuse Jesus of not caring, because we're going to find in this chapter that he cares a lot. He cares tremendously. This man is unique in that he is a leper. Now, you got this combination of a no-name and this terrible disease. I think sometimes the reason that the Bible doesn't offer us a name is because he wants us to be able to insert our name. It's not just a particular leper, but it's any leper. It's not particularly one person, but it could be any person in this room. As I may not have had leprosy in my body, but there have been times that I felt like a no-name from nowhere. And when I read these verses, I like to be able to insert myself. Aren't you glad that John 3:16 didn't list someone's name? Aren't you glad that it used the word whosoever? Because I can now read that and quote that and insert my name. I can say David Lamb would believe in him. I can put God so loved David. And it personalizes it. And so I think that if you were very smart, when you read the Bible, you'll find places to insert your name. Because the things that Jesus did for them, he'll do for you too. I think it's important that we know that this man is a leper. Leprosy was a contagious disease that affects the skin. It affected the mucous membranes, and probably more so than anything, it affected the nerves. I would say the nervous system, but it actually affected the physical nerves, the endings that make you feel pain. And what would happen with leprosy is your skin would begin to rot. It was an external type of affliction that would begin to attack the extremities of your body, your fingers and your toes and your ears and your nose and your lips and eyebrows and chin and things of that nature. And slowly but surely, you would actually begin to rot. You're dying. Your flesh is dying. And it was a slow, humiliating, gradual process. It's terrible. Discoloration of the skin. Lumps would form on the skin. And it could get to such a place that you had no feeling whatsoever. You could literally step on a nail and it would go through your foot. And you wouldn't know it. So what happens when a rusty nail goes through your foot and you don't know it and you don't treat it? The next thing happens is gangrene. So leprosy creates all kinds of problems. You could burn yourself and not know it. You could break something, hurt something, rip the skin, you wouldn't know it. And this is what this man is dealing with. Not only that, there are the social dynamics behind it. For this leper, according to Leviticus 13 and 45, I'll just read you the text. And it said, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, or his clothes shall be torn off, his head shaven bare, and he shall put a covering upon his lip, and he shall cry, unclean, unclean. As far as I can understand, they had to stay at a safe distance of about 150 feet from anyone that was considered to be clean. If you were not a leper, you were clean. If you were a leper, you were unclean. And I don't know how far 150 feet is. Maybe, I don't know, the length of this church and a half or something is a pretty good distance. It's a pretty good space. But you couldn't touch anyone. You couldn't really come in contact with anyone. If you had a husband that was not a leper and you became a leper, you could no longer interact with your husband. You could no longer interact with your children. You could no longer go to work. If I touched something that you touched, I became unclean. If you sat down on the pew, I couldn't sit down with you because that whole pew is now dirty. This man comes to Jesus. Everything in his life is falling apart. But he had an issue that no one could fix. Have you ever had an issue nobody could fix? I know that a lot of folks tried to fix it. I know that a lot of folks had opinions on how to fix it. But I mean, you had an issue that doctors couldn't heal. Anybody? You had an issue that a banker couldn't fix. You had an issue that a lawyer couldn't fix. Lawyers can fix some things, but there are some things in my life that only Jesus can fix. And so he's here and he hears about Jesus. And that's what the Word of God says. He comes to Jesus. He's not supposed to, but how did he know? It's noised abroad all through the streets that Jesus is in town. And so he comes to him. And I think that if we would be more active in evangelism, if we would be more active in our testimony, that people would know that the God you serve is real. But a lot of times we're closed-lipped. We don't want to tell anybody anything. We don't want to offend anybody. And what happens is we're surrounded by people that are hurting and people that are broken. We're surrounded by lepers and blind men and halted men and folks that are dying inside. And there's people all around us that if they just knew that there was help, that they would probably get help. And there you are. We have the answer. How many knows that Jesus is the answer? He's not a answer. He is the answer. And there are people that need to hear that. But if we're not going to tell it, it's not going to be told. But thankfully, in this situation, this leper hears about a man that can heal leprosy. So the Bible tells us that he comes to Jesus for a cure. This, I can't help it. And I've mentioned it a few times lately, but I can't shake it. I've been reading these Gospels again. I've been studying these Gospels again. And I'm noticing all of these people that are coming to him. People that are not allowed to come to him are coming to him. People that don't meet the status quo are now found at the feet of Jesus Christ. This leper is not supposed to be within 150 feet of Jesus. But now we're going to find him kneeling at the feet of Jesus. He's going to be touching Jesus. Jesus is going to be touching him. You need to understand that this is actually illegal. It is against the laws of the land. But when you get desperate enough, you don't really care what anybody says about anything. That's some of the issue that we have in the house, that we're not desperate enough. We're not thirsty enough. We're not hungry enough. We're not broken enough. People come to you and they've got all kinds of stories and this is falling apart and that is falling apart. And you can usually tell when somebody's broken enough. They'll throw pride out the window. They don't care about that anymore. This man is broken. This man is torn up and now he's at the feet of Jesus and everything around him. The law says no. The people say no. And it reminds me of Mary Magdalene. You know, she comes off the red light district. 7 demons have been cast out of her. I know I've mentioned it in the past. I can't help it. I see this woman. She smells like the night. She looks like the night. And all the religious people said, what is she doing at his feet? She's lost. She's a sinner. If he knew what kind of woman this was, she wouldn't let him at her feet. But see, that's just the thing about it. Jesus doesn't rebuke her. I said, Jesus doesn't rebuke her. He rebukes the religious crowd. And he says, leave her alone, because who much is forgiven loves much. Do you know what Jesus is telling the religious people? He says, you don't love me as much as she loves me. I know she's a prostitute. I know that she's busted up. I know that she's in a mess. But look at her. She's at my feet and you're standing there all dignified. It's been making me think about some things. It made me think about Legion at the banks of Gadara. Here's a man filled with so many demons that we don't have a number. Just said, we are Legion, for we are many. But yet there he is. He's naked. He's got no clothes. He hasn't bathed in months, maybe years. He's cut all to pieces. He is scarred all over. And there he is at the feet of Jesus, and he's worshiping Jesus. And we have said, you know, what is she doing in the house? You know where she came from. You know what he did. I heard about her. I know what she did last night. What's she doing up in the house of God? My question is why is it that you're supposed to be saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled, but I can't even get an amen out of you? Why is it that the ones that I was taught my whole life that weren't allowed to worship God, Jesus had them at his feet? And the ones that I told were allowed to worship God sit on the pews and don't do anything. I can't help it. I can't help it. It's been on my heart a lot lately. People look around and say, "You know what she, what he did. I know how she's this and he's that." And you just sit there with your judgmental spirit and your judgmental attitude. And Jesus says, "I'm condemning all of you, but let the harlot come on down. Let Legion fall on down. Let this leper get at my feet because he knows what it's like to be broken." I love church people. I would be considered a church man. I've been in church 22 years. And I am a religious man. I'm a very religious man. But religion falls short. What we need is a relationship. Some of us have so much religion that we forgot about a connection to God. I like that little picture they sent me. They said a religious man is in church thinking about fishing. But a man that's got a relationship is fishing thinking about church. Really, we could probably say Jesus, a man thinking about Christ. Jesus had a lot of people at his feet that I've been told wasn't allowed to come to him. Now, I'm not throwing away the people that I believe live good lives. I believe the Bible calls us to holiness. It does. I believe that God calls us to righteousness, but how is that attained? It is attained through the death of self, the death of flesh, and being filled with the Spirit of Christ, having the attitude of Christ, having the power of God, Jesus living and breathing and moving inside of us. But religion has a system. Religion has a set of things that you adhere to. And what I've seen in my lifetime is people that got a hold of the system and they were able to cross T's and dot I's. But there's no passion. There's no fire. There's no hunger. There's no desire. And I would love to see a revival of passion again. A revival of desire again. I would rather have a leper who knows he's a leper who's at the feet of Jesus saying, "I'm a leper, would you heal me?" And some of the hypocrites that come to church and say, "Hallelujah, preacher, preach it anyway." God is looking for a heart of worship today. So I've got a man at his feet that's not allowed to be at his feet, but he's at his feet anyway, because that's what Jesus, he's a God that's inclusive. Our churches are exclusive. That means only a certain kind of people can come into them. You got to think a certain way, look a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way. You got to conduct yourself a certain way. But I find that the most degraded people, the most fragmented people, the most broken people, the most outcast people were the ones that Jesus was moved by, his heart was touched by. There's something wrong with us when a leper can come to Jesus and worship him because he knows he can be healed. Shouldn't us that are not lepers be worshiping him that much more and saying, "Thank God that I'm not a leper"? Shouldn't we be that much more thankful? Somebody shout, "Preach it." Oh, thank you very much. I will. Thank you. I'm glad you're going. I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to tell you how crazy this system is. Sitting at the Lord's Supper, the table, that last supper, there sits Matthew, and there sits Simon, not Peter, Simon the Zealot. This is crazy. Okay, who's Matthew? Do you remember what his occupation was? He's a tax collector. He's a Jew collecting taxes for who? Rome. He's a traitor. And there sits Simon the Zealot eating fried chicken with him. Simon the Zealot hated the Romans. And he's sitting across from a man who collected taxes for the Romans. He's a traitor. But you know what? Jesus is able to heal hearts. He is able to mend wounds. He is able to take a zealot and a traitor, heal them and save them, forgive them and wash them and set them down, and they can eat some KFC together. I don't know if we can do that, but if we'll submit ourselves to God, he can take a black man, a white man, an oriental man, a woman, a child, old man, young man, and throw them in a pot and say, "Behold my body." Oh yeah, he can do it. The question is, will we let him do it? Will we let him do it? I know what some of you said when you came in here. You said, I'm not worthy to be in church. It ain't this building you need to worry about. It ain't this church that you need to worry about. You need to worry about getting to the feet of Jesus. Some of you so crazy that church would fall in if I were. If you knew half the people sitting beside you right now, if you only knew where I come from, if you only knew some of the junk that the choir has been through, you wouldn't talk like that anymore. Because when you're sitting at the table, it doesn't matter who you are. If you've been washed in the blood, pull yourself up and eat a chicken wing, girl. Because God doesn't do anything halfway. When he does it right. Oh, I feel him, I feel him, I feel him. We've got some Mary Magdalenes in the house. We got some lepers in the house. And I know what we think. Oh, he must have been dumb. He must have been. No. Just because you're a leper doesn't mean you're dumb. Doesn't mean that you're poor. I can take you 13 chapters later, and Jesus goes to the house of Simon the leper. This man's got so much money, he was able to throw a banquet for all kinds of people, but he still got leprosy. It's weird how you can be in a beautiful place and have a serious condition. Just because you're in the church today, just because you're sitting there with your cologne on, and if you got some hair, it's parted, and you got your smile on, and you look good, but down deep inside, you got an issue, and you're afraid to tell me because you think that I'll cut you off. Don't you worry about me. I've already been to the cross. I've already fell down and said, mercy, mercy, mercy. I can't believe I did it again. And he said, I can't believe you waited so long to come back. Is there any lepers in the house? Is there anybody here that was told you can't come to Jesus? Is there anybody here the devil said God won't hear your prayer? He won't save you. He'll save you. He'll sanctify you. He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll use you. He'll bless you. He'll raise you. And when God's done with it, the devil's going to shut his mouth. My God. I saw Mitch Brown at the YMCA this week. I go to the gym about once a year whether I need it or not. That's right. And he asked me how the church, and I said, yeah, we're talking, and Alice came up. And I said, you know, we got a brother now too, right? I sound like a jailer. You know we got her brother up in there too, right? He just looked at me. Jesus, he can do it. Don't you worry about what I think about you. Don't you worry about what somebody sitting across the aisle from you thinks about you. You forget about all them. And you get your eyes focused on Christ. He'll take up for you. He'll fight for you. He's got your back. And when religious folk like me run their mouth about you, Jesus will say, shut up. She loves me more than all of you love me. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, shut up. You don't love me like Sheila. You forgot who you came from. You've forgotten the mess that you used to be. Oh, that's right. Some folk ain't shouting, oh, hallelujah. But if that handwriting came out and started writing on the wall, you'd tip out of here and you'd get led all of a sudden to go to somebody else's church. The Spirit led me down to the Baptist church. I'm going down to First Methodist. I'm going over to Berea. It had nothing to do with the Spirit. It's because you got a mess and you're afraid to let everybody know I am one of you. I'm blood. Bolt. Oh yeah, I needed his mercy. I'm one of them that had to come to him. I was so broken and mangled. Oh, but when he got done with me, he's got a plan for your life. I'm getting stuck here and I need to move on. We got some lepers in the house. We got some Mary Magdalenes in the house. We got some Matthews and Simons in the house. I need to see you at the feet of Jesus. I can't heal you. I hope I preach good this morning, but my preaching won't heal you. No, 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 no. I'm just one beggar telling beggars where I found bread. Somebody shout amen. One beggar telling other beggars where I found bread. You didn't heal me. Church didn't heal me. Church hurt me. Church folk killed me. I almost backslid more times than I can count over church people and churches. That's why I'm like I am today. Sometimes I'm too rough. Sometimes I'm too hard. Sometimes I make it sound like I just want all the church folk. And if I don't know, you know, how do you classify what a church folk is? Are you in church today? I guess we're all church folk. I don't know. But sometimes, you know, I think about the wounds of the past. And I think about what she said about me and what he said about me and how they made me feel. And I went to church to try to get some help. And he testified and almost called my name. But I found out at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, there is peace. At the feet of Jesus, there is love. At the feet of Jesus, I can be healed of whatever I've got in my life. Bible says this man is going to do a couple things. He's going to beseech Jesus. Call near. He called him near. I don't know, it's almost as if the picture is painted that the leper, with his head bandaged up, covering his ears and his nose, and he stinks awfully bad. It almost paints a picture as if he is that 150 feet away, and he calls to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, will you come to me? Have you ever been there where you couldn't get to him, and he had to come to you? Have you ever been like those apostles, the disciples on the water? They was on a ship in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a storm, and you couldn't get away, but he came walking to you in the middle of the storm. Have you ever been there that you said, I'm reaching up, but God, I can't reach that high? And he says, that's all right. I just need you to reach. I'll take care of the rest of it. Have you ever been to a place where you almost lost your mind? You didn't know if you were coming or going anymore. And Jesus said, stay right there. I am on my way. He'll come to you when you can't get to him. Is there anybody in this house that'll say, Jesus, come get me? Jesus, come get me. It's like a little boy's hanging out the window. His apartment's on fire. Smoke bellowing out that window. And the fireman says, jump. And the boy says, I can't see you. The fireman says, it doesn't matter. I can see you. Jump anyway. Some of you can't see God. You're surrounded by all this mess. And you're saying, I would jump, but I can't see him. Believe me, brother. Believe me, sister. You may not be able to trace him, but you can trust him. Jump anyway. He will catch you. Amen. Please, would you help me? Please, would you come? Jesus, you see where I'm at. Would you come walking on the water? And the Bible said he besought the Lord. I don't know how this worked out, but I can just see in my mind. You paint the picture however you want to paint it. But Jesus began to walk. I don't believe he stood still. I believe the leper began to sprint as hard as his broken and dying self could fall. At his feet he falls down. And the Bible says he kneels down. I want to see some folks come to him today. I want to see saints and sinners alike come to him. Some of you that's lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior. Some of you are lost, you don't know Christ as your Deliverer. I need to see you step out of your pew. Just say, excuse me, Pharisee. If I'm standing here in the aisle, just bump me out of the way and say, watch out, Pharisee. I know you're looking at me funny, but I'm coming on down anyway. Just push your pastor out of the way. If I'm the one that's in your way, push the old Pharisee out of the way and come on down to the altar and say, I didn't come to church. I'm coming to Jesus today. I come in here broken. I come in here hurting. I come in here smothered. I'm trying, but I'm not able to get up. I'll tell you how you get up. You're going to let Jesus lift you up, because he'll pick you up if he even has to reach way down. He'll lift the bucket up and pull you out from underneath the bottom of it. Don't you lose your faith in God. Don't you blame him for what people did. His name is powerful. His blood is glorious. If you are free today, I dare you to come on down. Jesus is ready to heal you.
I want to see some saints that are dying of depression, saints that are smothering. You've allowed the enemy to come in like a flood. I want to see some preachers. I want to see some wives. I want to see some saints of God. I say, if I can just get to Jesus, I believe that he can heal me. And I want you to kneel down. I don't want you to raise your fist at him. I want you to fall down in humility and say, I'm a mess. I blasted it all. But God, that preacher told me if I could just get at your feet that you would heal me. I dare you to do it. I dare you. I'm going to tell you what happens here. None of this really matters yet. None of this really matters yet. Here is the key note of this entire message. The leper, that's good. I can relate to him. Coming to him, needing to be healed, acknowledging that God can. That's what he said. If thou wilt, he says, I know you can do it if you will. We all know that. Raise your hand if you know God will, if he wants to. But I'm still not healed yet. All of that's good because I can put myself in the picture now. And I can now see us, Revival Tabernacle, at his feet. And I'm bandaged up and I stink from leprosy. And my fingers are rotting off, my nose, my eyes. And I'm breaking all the rules and all the laws. And yet I'm here, but I'm still not healed yet. But something about him kneeling. Something about him acknowledging that Christ has the power to fix it does something to him. In verse 41, the Bible said, and Jesus moved with compassion. That's a powerful word. It means that he yearned. In one definition, his bowels yearned. It means that his worship, his desperation actually moved God. He's at his feet, but he's so broken now that Jesus' heart, he feels it on the inside. And if I were you and I was in this house and I had a need that a banker couldn't take care of, if I had an ailment that a doctor couldn't help, I'd fall down at his feet and I'd move him with worship. I'd move him with praise. God is listening to you today. What will you do with his attention? He moves him. He puts forth his hand and touches him and says, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he speaks, immediately the leprosy departs from him and he's cleansed. You want to move him? Come. You need God to move for you. You're going to have to come. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to stop trying to do it in your own strength. You've already figured out you can't do it in your own power. I'm coping. That's your problem. You're trying to cope. I'm getting through it. No, that's a problem. You trying to get through it. I'm trying to make it through this. No, that's a problem. You trying to. There comes a point where you've got to fall down on your face and say, I have botched everything. I don't care if you've backslid 897 times. I don't care if you've backslid so many times that you're on the edge of the equator today, brother. What I'm telling you is if you'll come to God and you'll be sincere, he will move for you. The Bible said he stretched his hand out and he healed him. I need God to touch me. I need the hand of the Lord to lay upon me. If you will, he's got an answer for you today. This is illegal. This is illegal. Numbers 5:2, it's illegal. Not only does a leper come to him, but Jesus is now going to touch him. Do you think Jesus had to touch him? Talk to me, saints. Come on. Did Jesus have to touch him? No. He could have walked away, spoken, you know, behind the back, between the legs, behind the back, and dunked it, walking away, and spoken. He could have thought it in his mind. I saw him cleanse 10 lepers just like that. Be healed. Be cleansed. One of them glorified him. He said, be made whole. I'm going to tell you why he touched him. He wanted everybody to know. He wanted all the scribes, all the Pharisees, all the Sadducees. He wanted the disciples to know. I will touch anybody that'll fall at my feet. He wanted them to call him a friend of sinners. He wanted them to recognize him and say, that man will touch anybody. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about you. He'll touch you when the devil said no. When your ex said no, Jesus said, watch this. When they threw in the towel on you and said, there's no way, Jesus, I am the way. I'm going to touch her. I'm going to heal her. I will. He says, I will. He's God. Man, I feel like preaching. I'm going to have an altar call. Beth, Ashley, please come. Bible said he heals him. He cleanses him. He heals him. He cleanses him. He heals him. He touches him. He breaks the law. He breaks all the traditions. It could be possible they healed him before he touched him. I don't know. I don't care. I don't care. I think that if Jesus' hand touched a leper's head, he left a handprint right in his forehead. Everything he touched, he healed. But I've got a feeling the moment he touched him, his whole body was healed immediately. 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 Oh, do I need to talk to you about that for a moment? Immediately. Immediately. I know it's taken you a long time to get in this state. I know that it's taken you a long time to get this jacked up. I know that. I understand that. And in your mind, because it's taken me all this time to mess it up, God can't fix it. I don't have enough time to go to church. I'm telling you that if you'll get your heart sincere, he can take care of every single issue in this house. Somebody shout immediately. He doesn't need a council. He doesn't need to take a vote. He doesn't need to ask anybody's popular opinion. He don't even care what Pastor Lamb thinks about. If you'll get to his feet, oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. He will heal it today. Amen. Stand across the house. I didn't even get to my message. He tells them, says, say nothing. Don't you say one word to anybody. He's trying to help the poor old guy. Because he's still legally a leper. He's not got a stitch of leprosy on him, but these people know he's a leper. And so every time he brushes up against somebody, they're made unclean. Now listen, I'm going to give an altar call. I do not want a bum rest to this door. You're driving me crazy with that mess. You're hindering the service. If you need to leave, go out the back door. If you're old, come out the front door. God is in this house right now. He says, I want you to go to the priest. And I want you to go through the ceremonies of cleansing. But he is so excited. He is so filled. That he can't keep quiet. What do you do with this text? I thought you were supposed to obey Jesus. He didn't. He hit the streets running. And said, let me tell you about a man. Isn't that the leper? Not anymore, baby. Isn't that old leper, Willie? Not anymore. Isn't that leper, David? Not anymore. And he published it abroad. He blazed it abroad. Both of those words, very similar, simply means this right here. They made Jesus famous. Has he done anything for you? Raise your hand. Some of you that are broken to smithereens today, has he done anything for you in the past? Talk to me. I'm about done. Talk to me. Has God ever done anything for you that you couldn't keep it quiet? You had to tell somebody. Has he? Let me ask you this. Has he not done anything for you today? Shouldn't we be raising our hands right now? You say, but Lamb, I'm not a leper. Shouldn't you be saying, oh God, I'm not a leper anymore. Woo! I'm not an Eastern state. I should be an Eastern state. Not working there. I tell my wife I need a psychiatrist. And she always laughs. I ain't laughing. We all should be in a straitjacket today. Right? Where's Tasha at? She praying? Do y'all know that song she just sang? You know what? I held on. I want to sing that. This is what needs to happen at this altar call. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. This is what needs to happen right now. Some of you that came in this house today, you just barely made it. I read your Facebook posts. Some of y'all need to shut your Facebook pages down. If I could reach through the screen, if some of you only knew the stuff that I've wrote to you and deleted, you would love me so much. I say, my wife said, great God, did they actually say that in front of everybody right there? They're members of Revival Tap, a bunch of cowards, wimps. If we, in this life, only had hope, we'd be of all men most miserable, Paul said. I think it's Paul. But I have hope in a healer. I have hope in a deliverer. I have hope in a savior. And he wants to save in this house right now. But I need you to come to him. Some of you saints, I think that you need to look at this leper who blazed it abroad. That's my message today. Light it up. I'd like to make Jesus famous in Richmond, Kentucky. My God. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I have felt your glory. I believe Revival Tabernacle is one of the greatest churches in the world. What's made it that way is the people that's underneath the sound of my voice. I felt you speak to me all through the night, all morning long. And there are some lepers in this house. There are some Simons, some Mary Magdalenes. There are some of us that the world said they'll never make it. They shouldn't be here. I know him. He shouldn't be no pastor. And that's the conversation that everybody's having around us. But Father, today, we're going to try to block all that out. And we're going to get down at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to forget about the ex-husband, the ex-wife, the boyfriend, the uncle, the mother, the father. I'm forgetting about what they said about me at work. I'm forgetting about what my kids said. I'm coming to you today, Jesus. I've messed my life up. I've blasted it to pieces. I even spent last night suffocating under depression, but I'm not doing it anymore. I'm bringing everything, all of my care, and I'm going to cast it at your feet today. Father, the devil's told us that we're going under, but I'm not going on. I'm going to hang on to you. I'm holding on to you. I'm never letting go of you. Father, I pray over this house that you would speak courage, strength, that you would speak peace and love and joy in this house, and that we could forget what the church in the past did to us, what the pastor said to us, and how the church folk hurt us. And I heard that girl say before she got to church today, I shouldn't be in church. I heard her say that. I could point her out. And you told her to come. You a divine design because you have a miracle for her. I pray, God, that she'll forget everything that's around her, that she'll break down all her pride. And not worry about what anybody's going to say or think about her, but I want her to come.